Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Our dear brother Joel has graciously consented to lead out in this service. I discovered that after doing the children's lesson and then the adult Youth and Adult Sabbath School and then the church service, right in a row, it took it out of me. It took me a couple days to recover from that expenditure of energy. And I've learned that every hour of preaching or talking, sharing to others is like 4 hours of physical labor. So I had a lot of expenditure last Sabbath, and praise the Lord that our dear brother Joel has graciously consented to lead out and to give me a break in this. If God impresses your heart to also lead out in the next weeks or so in our Youth and Adult Sabbath School, please let me know. And it's, God has blessed this home church with a lot of talent in a lot of different individuals. And it thrills my heart to see these talents being exercised among us. So without any further delay, I'll turn it over to our dear brother Joel.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. And I pray that your Sabbath has really been a blessed one and that you rested well, especially you, dear brother. Before we get started, if someone would like to lead us out in prayer, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for sending us another voice to preach your truth, to steer us in the right direction, and send the Holy Spirit to give him the words to say and to give us the ears to hear. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for being with Brother Bob and for allowing him to ease back a little. Thank you for everyone who's attending today on this Sabbath day. And thank you for the Sabbath day where we can rest and we can think about what you've done for us, especially eternal life. It's promised when certain conditions are met, and that is knowing the one who has the greatest love for us, who created us in his image. Be with us now as we continue on with your word and growing in grace, and may all of our ears be opened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear Sister Joan. Last week, we were going over not serving two masters. And that is a very important lesson in itself, because it really is challenging. But it's something of the flesh we have to get under control, is not to serve the world, and then to also try to serve the Lord at the same time. It doesn't work out very well, and we wind up with problems. But this week we are moving into the chapter 4 And we're starting off with, be not anxious. And that is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Teach the children that because of God's great love, their natures may be changed and brought into harmony with His. Teach them that He would have their lives beautiful with the graces of the flowers. Teach them as they gather the sweet blossoms that He who made the flowers is more beautiful than they. Thus the tendrils of their hearts will be entwined about Him. He who is altogether lovely will become to them as a daily companion and familiar friend, and their lives will be transformed into the image of His purity. Amen. Now, this is about being anxious. And I had discovered that in looking up the word, and I wish I would have written down the Strong's on that, so I looked it up. But it has a lot to do in its original of being overly careful about things. We might say it can bring on, you know, nervousness in some ways. But to be overly careful, to be unreasonably really careful about what is going to take place in our lives, in our job, or in our health, even, it could be a number of things. We can even get anxious about things that are going to wind up being good for us. But the bottom line is that we are not to be anxious in that way. If someone has something they'd like to share about this, because I'm sure we all have had a time in our lives, we've been anxious. We have wondered about things, even whether it be in school or tests or jobs and promotions or whatever the case may be. We can even get anxious about our daily work around the house. But if someone would like to share what they see in this, please feel free.
Amen. The tendency or the fruit of anxiety is fear. You are led to think the worst instead of the best of the future or of the area you're talking about or thinking of. And that leads to fearfulness, and fear fights against love and trust in God. So Christ says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, because perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. So when you're thinking about the future, or when you're thinking about what's going to happen the next day, rest in God's love, for He controls the future. He controls what's going to happen the next day. And in resting, you have peace instead of fear. You're able to trust in God instead of lacking trust, doubting that He can take care of tomorrow or the future. So don't worry about anything.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Also, this is important too. We were talking about these different things concerning the last session concerning the children. Something was brought up, and it is important also for them to not have, even as our dear brother was saying, because it's true, that is like a fear, for them to not be fearful. To be able to see that God is love and that He takes care of everything. We may not see it, and they as children may not see it, but we also as adults, we may not see it, and we can get, I know I can, get very, fearful about certain things I don't see and don't understand, and I have to take it to God. But the Lord has everything laid out. And we don't have to be afraid of what tomorrow is going to bring. going back to what I was about to say concerning even us as children, but then our little children, it's important for them to not have instilled in them, as it was mentioned earlier, an apprehension to come to the parents for whatever it is their concerns are, and also for us to have an apprehension to go to God for whatever concerns us. We are a reflection, supposed to be, of the Lord's love to our little ones. And if we are in the Word of God, then we see in God's Word, we see that His love is shown to us. And there is nothing to be trembling about concerning being able to approach Him, because the Word of God says that through Christ Jesus, we can boldly come before the throne of grace. We don't have to hang our head down and grovel up to God's throne. He loves us. And everything He has for us is for our good. We don't have all the answers at each time, but that promotion or that project that we may have been working on, or whether it be even something that we have to overcome in our own lives that we're wrestling with, we know that we have that assurance in Christ Jesus that He will give us strength and power to overcome it, and we don't have to be afraid of it. The adversary likes for us to be very fearful and likes to drag up whatever he can drag up of failures before, but we don't have to look at that. We can be very courageous in Christ Jesus and be able to see the beauty of God and His love in everything, even around us. Who would like to read? Oh, no, please. If someone has something to add, please do.
When you say something around us, sometimes we're in a situation where we have to be around people who are very irritating. And how do we deal with that? Well, of course, praying about it. But another way, too, is try to understand what they went through and are going through in life. Perhaps they were, when they were young, they were mistreated, went through a really bad experience. All of this can come out in later years in how they feel and how they treat people. So it's pray for them, but also understand that they've gone through a bad situation in life and they need understanding and maybe a little extra love and understanding.
Amen, dear sister. And I can understand that too, because I believe that each one of us at one point or another, we've experienced something that was very unpleasant, and affected us greatly and carried with us through life. However, that should be something that, even as our dear sister was sharing, you know, to try to understand what they have gone through, what others may have gone through. We can see by God's grace, if we have come to walk with Him, and because of His patience and long suffering, I find, the Lord is not hanging over our head with a mallet for when we have messed up, or even when we have gone through something that is not even, you know, something we brought upon ourselves. We have something now that we can draw from to reach that person that may be going through that difficult time and cannot see the beauty and loveliness of God. They cannot understand how is it that a God of so much love can allow this or has allowed that or this calamity here or that happened to my friend or that happened to me, or how can that be a God of love? We can use those situations that the Lord has brought us through. And these are varied things. You all know different things you've gone through in life. By God's amazing grace, you are all here. And that's the Lord's mercy and grace and love on that. You have something to give in times like that to those who can't see it. But the Lord in his mercy and grace has brought you through it and shown you, at least I believe if we're listening, and I know that I've had a hard head at times, but when we are listening, we get to see the beauty of God's love, even in what seems to be a tragedy. And that has been a difficult thing. I find that in looking at the nature that grows around me, I find there are many different weeds in that grow up in the garden or in the yard. But what I have found is that they each have, from what I've seen, they grow a flower. I don't like the weeds, even though I have found that some weeds are very beneficial for health. But I don't really like the weeds with all their thorns. Yet the Lord in his mercy and grace shows forth his love even in the flowers upon the weeds. Those weeds in our lives, those bad situations in our lives that may not seem like they are beneficial at that time. And I will tell you the truth, I have never really seen for the longest time until not very long ago that difficult or bad situations could really be of any benefit. But I see that the Lord in his mercy and grace, he will use it to show forth his love and to show forth his glory in our lives. And we then become, I find, like a strength to others. And even as every situation may come up, someone may have someone ill in their family, or they may have some real trauma going on, but we've gone through something similar. So we can show them the love of God in those things too. And especially the little ones, they need that, but we also as adults, we need that too, to be able to grow up in Christ, to see the beauty of God in the midst of all the things that are taking place in our lives. And it can be done because God is a God of the impossible. So we can press on and we can share what God has given to us to help those who are in a special need at that time. We were there. And when no one else was there, it was mentioned before, the Lord was always there. And he is that light that shines in our heart when things are very dark around us. So the Lord is there. So if anyone would like to add more, please feel free to do so.
I was just going to explain how I got to think about those things, what kind of experience people had and why they liked or disliked things. The thing I hated most when I was growing up was doing the dishes. And I was the only one that did the dishes. I was the oldest in the family. And I would just think about how nice it would be if my mom would come and stand beside me and help me with the dishes. And then I found something out about her early life. She has four other sisters. And when they were growing up, they had help around the house to do certain things. Well, a punishment of theirs was if you don't do this, you have to do the dishes. So dishes was a punishment for my mom. And then I understood why she didn't come and stand beside me and help me with the dishes, because they're thinking that was a punishment. But anyway, that's how it can shed light on some things you don't understand when you get the whole background. Another incident was my dad was very, very patient. So you could talk to him about anything. And I asked him one day, "Dad, how did you become so patient?" And he said, "Well, I wasn't always." And I said, "Well, how did you get to be patient?" And he said, "Well, when I was growing up, I could have killed anything that looked at me the wrong way. I was not patient at all." And behind that, I found out that his mom and dad split up when he was very young, and he went to live with his father, who married a woman who was very unkind to my dad. And she would lock him out of the house. She would hide things from him, food. And so this is why he had that kind of experience when he was younger. But then later on, he was able to overcome that with God's help, even though he wasn't a godly man at that time. He learned how to be patient and to be kind, and that was because God took special care for him. God takes special care of those who are being mistreated, even though they don't know it, and it can turn their whole life around. And thank you, God, for being all the love you are and showing it to us.
Amen. Amen. There was a reading put in the room, a comment in the room. I want to read that. It says, "Our greatest example, Jesus experienced a horrible death, but this brought about a new life for us all, as well as recreation that will overrule our old experience. If we hold to his promises, it will bring about the reason for them. They are the instruments to help us grow in him." Amen. Amen. I can attest to that. I believe we all have been through those things too. We didn't know it at the time. I will say that for myself. No, I didn't like a lot of things that I've gone through in life. However, by God's amazing grace, the Lord has revealed when I'm ready, because he will not give us what we're not able to handle. So when I was ready to hear certain things and to learn certain things, then he shared those things with me and told me why certain things happened a certain particular way, even when it was my own fault, which I did not like to hear that at all. That's my fault. So it took me a while to digest some of those things, but God is merciful and patient and long-suffering and full of love. So I praise God for that. If anyone would like to share anything more, please feel free.
Yes, I would like to share on that in the past few weeks, even months, maybe, but everything is just going so fast that I want to say weeks. Mm-hmm. Just reflecting on all the catastrophes that has taken place in the different countries, and some of them have been so enormous and catastrophic that we kind of not realize that other things that has happened to other countries at the same time. And so I was looking at this documentary that I like to look at, because they really dive into truth and not just like trying to make up stuff and go with whatever is going on the internet or whatever. So I was listening to they were recapping everything that happened in the time. And I got a good look, which I don't know if I appreciate it or not, but just thinking about this be not anxious scripture and advice from the Lord, it would be a good time now for us Christians to really understand the be not anxious, because as I was looking at these catastrophes that happen all over the world and the details and how the buildings were just coming down, like I didn't know if I was looking at a movie or if I was looking at a child playing with toys and then throwing it down, because I really got anxious. Like I started looking at the windows and see how fast I could get out the window, how fast I could get to the door and be outside. I just really started to get anxious. Like if you hear something, but then there's a voice that said to me, that these things must come to pass, and how far ahead in my life did the Lord prepare us and been giving us the end time happenings and all the different things that will happen in this time, and how that he will take care of us, and how he has taken care of all his people throughout time, and he has brought them through all the different things that he has brought them through, like Noah and all the different ones that he brought through. So in the middle of the anxiety that I was going through for looking at this, all this stuff that was happening in the great detail, because I hadn't seen it. I had heard of it, but I hadn't seen it in the great detail. They made a point of bringing together the details of the situation. And so in that moment, the Lord, let me know, to not be afraid. And to take courage in that we as Christians that is standing on these principles in the last day, we are prepared for this because the Lord has given it to us, way before now. And that, but now is a good time for us to really hone in, and not be anxious, but because God holds that whole situation, the whole earth, that is shaken, he holds it in his hands. And that is something that I wanted to share. And yeah.
Amen. Amen. And it's very, I find also, dear sister, thank you, because it's very easy to get caught up with anxiousness, especially in those areas like that you just shared. Because they are happening so much more frequently now. However, we do have those promises. We have wonderful, beautiful promises from the Lord that he is always with his children. And no matter what it is that we're going to go through, we have that promise that the Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and that though the mountains are cast into the sea, though the earth should split wide open, though the heavens should be shaken, our faith should not be shaken in Christ Jesus, in that he is going to save us. And this lack of anxiousness is by God's grace. And we have the privilege of being able to share that with others too, I find, because it is very easy. The people in the world, and the world really is being thrown upside down. And many people, as we know, the Word of God says that men's hearts will fail them for the fear of that which is coming upon the world. We see that, and we know that that is taking place. And we see the many other disasters and diseases that are everywhere. However, even in the midst of that, I find that we have the privilege and the opportunity to, through the Lord Jesus, to share with others the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, even in the midst of these things, because this is how I find people will wonder, how can you be so calm? How can you be with a smile on your face and these different things are taking place? You just lost your home, your house burned down, the neighborhood is gone, and yet you are looking like that and being so calm. We can do that because of the Lord. We can do that because of what the Lord Jesus has done, even as our dear sister said, in our lives before we got to that point. He had already been building us up and building us up to be able to endure that point when it comes. So we are being prepared, and many of us are more prepared than others, and some of us, not me, are not as prepared as others. So, but the Lord in his mercy and grace is bringing us all along and preparing us by the Holy Spirit, preparing us as we read and pray, preparing us as we also witness to others, because if we don't have a testimony, at least this is my understanding and how I have understood for some time, when we don't have a testimony of the love of God in our lives and what he has done for us, I find that it hindered me when I wasn't really giving much testimony. I felt less strong in the Lord. I had nothing to share. And I was very fretful about many things. And by the grace of God, I'm becoming less and less. And that's good. I find that to be good, because there's a lot that's going on, even that was just shared. But by God's grace, that also gives an opportunity to share more of what the Lord has done. I'm thankful for that. And we as brothers and sisters, we have a loving obligation to do that for each other, because we are all going through various stages of difficulties, and we don't always have the right answer. However, my brother or my sister may have just that word I need to not be so anxious, to not be so worried, to not be so doubtful about God's love or his ability to take care of this thing or that thing or my children or my loved ones or whatever the case may be. We have an obligation, a loving, dutiful obligation to encourage each other to not be anxious and to look at the promises that God has given. And we see them all over. His love is written on everything. So we have that. So I praise God for that, that sharing, because it really brings that home that we have a lot to give to each other. And during this time especially, and we know, by God's grace, we know what time it is, and we see the signs, even as the Lord Jesus has shared with us and taught us. We see the seasons. We see the signs. He is even at the door. So we have to stir up ourselves to be more encouraged and to be a light to others and also a strength to each other in the faith, because this is our time, I find, this is our time to shine for the world to see Christ Jesus in us and not to see us overwhelmed with fears and doubts and anxiousness of what we don't know. We have no control over so many different things, but God has control over everything when we place everything in his hands. There is so much less worry and doubt. I don't always do that, so I'm just sharing, I don't always do that, but it is what I strive to be able to do on a very regular, habitual basis, is to not be anxious and worried about things that the Lord woke us up today. We have strength, we have energy for all who do, in whatever capacity we have, by God's grace, we have that. And we're still, whether silently or vocally, able to praise him, we can do that, and we can give him the glory, even if we only have a slice of bread left in the cabinet and nothing else. We still have the water. We still have the bread. Isn't that the promise? So we don't have to be anxious for a lot of different things. I'm learning And I will always be praying for my brothers and sisters to continue to learn that too and help me too. So who would like to read? Well, let's see. There is a statement in the room. Praise the Lord indeed. Everyone has a place in his work. May the Godhead place us in our lot. He is before his perfect plan. Amen. Amen indeed. Amen. So who would like to read the next? Oh, someone has something to say. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say one last thing that I think would be a nice segue, which is I did want to share, and I was very inspired by what Sister Grace just shared. I wanted to share a small part of my journey in dealing with anxiety, which is that I am always very cognizant that it's a temporary emotion. But I always remind myself that it's very much real. And I try to break it down that anxiety is the fear of the unknown, right? And so what's the solution to that? To know, which is to point you back to scripture. Because how can we be comforted? How can we receive the reassurance if we do not go in and learn about a God who can pause and hold the sun for a battle? Who can make the water split. And so I am not saying that I don't experience anxiety anymore. I very much do. But I have a routine of tethering myself to the scripture to comfort and to ease that temporary emotion as it passes through. And the end of it is always gratitude for our God. And so I think that would be a nice segue into the next. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes, praise God, dear sister. Thank you so much. And who would like to read the next section?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. The people who listened to the words of Christ were still anxiously watching for some announcement of the earthly kingdom. While Jesus was opening to them the treasures of heaven, the question uppermost in many minds was, how will a connection with him advance our prospects in the world? Jesus shows that in making the things of the world their supreme anxiety, they were like the heathen nations about them, living as if there were no God, whose tender care is over his creatures. Amen.
Amen. I can see also that in my early journeys, back and forth, that would be a very prominent thing that would pop up is, okay, dear Lord, when is this kingdom coming? Okay, I'm not ready for it, but when is it coming? Because I still have this to do and I still have that to do and I still, so it became very troublesome to me and my walk was never really very stable in those, during those times. By God's grace, it is more now. But I see too, how the cares of this world and what we think God should do, what we believe him to be able to do according to our own desires are not God's desires. And our, even as it says, our anxiousness to achieve things that are not really even for our good, it kind of, how can I say it? Not even kind of. It demeans and degrades the glory of God and his mercy and grace, his love, which is so immense. It reduces it to a television, to a car, to a bike, to a chair, to something, a bed, to something that seems to be so necessary to our comfort in life when it is exceedingly and abundantly so far beyond any of that. I see that in what is read. How the Lord was trying to share with them. That is not the kingdom. This is not. This world is not the kingdom. So that's, I just wanted to share that. And if someone has some more that they would like to share, please feel free to do so.
Amen. I see in this paragraph that while Christ was opening to them the treasures of heaven, the question that they thought of the most was, how will my connection with him advance my prospects in this world? So Christ was giving them spiritual things, and they were focusing on temporal things. And the temporal things were eclipsing the spiritual. So Christ was giving them the best possible knowledge that they needed for salvation. And they were ignoring salvation for gain in this world. So they wanted to take advantage of Christ in order to advance themselves, instead of being a servant of Christ so that they could be advanced with him and advanced in a spiritual way. And so if we're anxious for the things of this world, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, will we have enough food for tomorrow? If we're focused on the temporal, it will eclipse the spiritual. And the most important priority is the spiritual.
Amen. That reminds me too, dear brother, that it was a study, a reading that we were doing before concerning even our talents. It brings that to my mind because we all have various talents of different kinds, and some have more than others, and that is still a praise unto God. However, I have found in the past from in my own personal walk that different talents that I had had, and I wanted the Lord to fit into what I was doing because I had a goal in my head as to what I wanted to do with this talent or that talent or this objective. And I look at it like that. Some of us, we have talents in math or in arts or in, it could be in construction or medicine, or it could be in, various forms of engineering and design, singing, poetry. It could be in a lot of things that we have the talents for. However, when we are coming to the Lord, I find that those talents have to be put in his hands so that they fit with the kingdom of God, so that they fit with the Lord's will. Because when they are immersed in the world, they are really, how could I say, they are still unclean. They are filthy. They need to be purified by the Lord, by him changing our hearts, changing our desires, giving us a new nature in which he redeems those talents and turns them into something unto his glory, which then also benefits those around us, which becomes a blessing even unto his name. So we all have these talents. So I see that in what was just shared. We have to also be mindful not to be anxious about what we want to do with what it is God gave us, because we came into this world with nothing. And everything that the Lord has given us in every single way can be a blessing if put in his hands. And those things which are not, that we may have learned or that may have been taught to us or that we have experienced, he can strip away what's not needed and still even redeem some of the things that were not so pleasant, so that it still winds up being a glory unto his name and a strengthening of us in the faith. But what will we do with those things? Are we going to still be worried about, well, I'm never going to be able to do this, and I'm not going to be able to be in that organization or this team here or be on that project there, or I'm not going to, this is what I want, Lord, but what does the Lord want? If I'm anxious for those things, when I was young, I was really little, but I had a desire for getting into Broadway, TV, Hollywood, all this other stuff. And I was praised many different times by the world of these different things. However, that is not something that the Lord wanted me to get involved in. And he shut that door time and again. And I was not happy with that. I was very upset because that was not my plan. My plan was to be like what I see out there, and they have all this money and fame and they have all these things. What do they want for? That's what my plan was, but I did not know what the Lord had planned for me, especially being that young and then through my youth. And either way, to make the long story short, it really wasn't until I learned to really give these things up and just lead them by the Lord's feet and let them be there that I actually experienced less anxiety. And maybe a part of it was like, oh, it doesn't look like that's ever going to happen. But that wasn't really what was in my heart. It was like, it's still going to happen. God's going to make it happen. It's going to be that way. He has to do it that way. It's not the way that it is. So, yes, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Amen. So, to make that story a little shorter, now, okay, it is different. And those anxious things are not there. I may have some other things that I'm dealing with, but those things are not. And I praise God for showing me, and he shows us all when we're ready and we're willing to see what it is he has for us, because not everyone, usually I think that this world, as we are dealing with the talents we have in this world, are nothing like what we're going to deal with in the kingdom. So that's the thought that comes to my mind in passing as it just zipped through my brain. But what we are able to use now as our talents here are very dim in comparison to what the Lord has planned for us. These are things we have to use for his glory, to win other souls, and for us to grow up into salvation for him, in him. Not for us to be glorying in ourselves. We are not here for ourselves. So if we get anxious about those things, even as it says, wanting to advance our own prospects, what we think, or even for the, how can I say that? To please others. Even if it's to please others because we want that pat on the back and that fame or whatever the case may be, or approval of so many others that do not even want the Lord. What are we throwing away and what are we anxious for? So I look at it like that, and I pray that that's understood. If someone has something else to share, please feel free to do so.
I realize as I'm reading the passage that tending the things of the world comes with great anxiety. But tending the things of the Lord, which it deals more in the spiritual, it brings calm and that peace and security that we were looking for, we were always looking for, but not in this world, in what the Lord is trying to give us. So that is amazing.
Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Well, all these things said Jesus, do the nations of the world seek after. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 12:30, Matthew 6:32-33. I have come to open to you the kingdom of love and righteousness and peace. Open your heart to receive this kingdom and make his service your highest interest. Though it is a spiritual kingdom, fear not that your needs for this life will be uncared for. If you give yourself to God's service, he who has all power in heaven and earth will provide for your needs. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Does anyone wish to share something concerning this paragraph?
I think it's important to recognize that God already knows your need of all these things. But he asks you to seek him first and be connected with his kingdom. And if you do that, if you put him first and all these needs secondary, God will provide for all those needs. So it's an act of faith, but it's also an act of trust.
Amen. And I would like to add that things like food, drink, clothing, and other necessities, it belongs to the Father's care. Jesus doesn't promise us luxury or freedom from hardship, that we will never have trials. But he assures his children that their needs are known to God and will never be neglected. Trust in the Father's provision, it frees the believers from anxious pursuit of material security, and it enables us to do faithful service for his kingdom.
As it was mentioned before, dear Brother Rob was bringing that up concerning that foundation also of anxiousness, of fear, is fear. I find that, because it goes in what was just mentioned just previously, that that lack of fear brings forth a courage and a peace that the world does not know. And even as was just mentioned, that the Lord will take care of all of our needs if we put the kingdom first. I know that we all can have our little anxiousness about whether it's a bill that needs to get paid or sometimes even food on the table for some families and some individuals too. But the Lord does not let his children go without when they put him first. I find that whenever I have put myself first, I find that I have needed more. And whenever I have actually willingly put the things of God first, everything else truly has been met. I was living somewhere before and I was very concerned about what food I would have, truthfully. I didn't have enough in my cabinets at the time. And my walk was not really that great with the Lord at all. But I was trying to get things right with God again. And to do right and to live more repentant. The Lord in his mercy and his love, while I was trying to do that and was concerned, I heard a knock on my door. And I went to the door and I opened it and I saw a bag with food in it. And I didn't see anyone outside the door. And I looked inside and there may have been a couple of things that I knew I wasn't going to eat because I was getting away from these different things, but still it was the Lord I saw. He saw that I had a need, but I wasn't putting that first, coming up with all kinds of schemes to figure out how I was going to do that. Out of his mercy and grace, out of his strength, I was trying by his, I have to say by his strength and grace, I put my effort forth, as we all have to put effort forth to serve the Lord. Yet it's in his strength that we can gain more strength, as his word says. So the blessing came. And it encouraged me and it lifted my spirits and it taught me more that the Lord really does care for even his wayward children that are trying to, by that same loving grace, to come back to him and serve him. He will encourage along the way. He is not a dour, judgmental, harsh kind of God. He's just not that. I was taught that for so much of my childhood and youth that that is what God is like. So it's taken me a long time to unlearn that. But that tender little thing there meant a whole lot to me at that time. And it still does to this day. It's an encouragement. The Lord does know what our needs really are. Even down to clothing, I've been down that road too. So, and I've seen the Lord show up. So I praise his holy name because truthfully, it was just said in the room before, worrying and being anxious is really worthless in the end. Now, I would love to be able to say that so freely and just, but it doesn't always happen like that for me. So, but I praise the living God for his long suffering and patience and his love. Oh, my lands. So that is something I just wanted to share. It's really, yes, amen. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him for he careth for you. Amen. It is so, so wonderfully true. I, regardless of whatever may come, I pray that by God's grace, we all will stand in that one voice saying, God is able. This is our God. We have waited for him. If someone would like to share something more, please feel free.
Amen, brother. And when the Lord allows sweet things like that to occur, food was delivered, you don't know who it was, it just backs up God's love for you. And it makes the bond between both of you that much more solidified, that much more sweet and real. And we're not to forget those things. They're to bring gratitude to our mind and praise to God every time we think about them. But I wanted to bring up a point here. It says, if there's conditions, right? If you give yourself to God's service, then he will provide for your needs. It doesn't say for your wants. It says for your needs. But it's conditional. You first have to give yourself to God's service. Now, this isn't talking about everyone becoming a minister. This is talking about giving yourself to God's service just as you are. When Paul was preaching to the crowd that was there, soldiers were convicted that what he was saying was right, and they asked him, what shall we do? And Paul didn't say, well, you need to quit your job and you need to go full time for God. He just said, do no violence to any man and be content with your wages. So in other words, serve God in your position where you are at this time, and God will take care of you. It's the same for today. You don't have to quit your job in order to enter into God's service. You just start serving God wherever you are. And when you do that, God will provide for your needs. What you need, not what you want. There's a difference.
And that, time, go ahead, dear sister.
It's a time in my life when things were so bad that I used to pray, God, just tell me to leave, and I'll leave. But God never told me to leave, and I stayed. And then I found out God's way was better, because it would have been far worse if I had left. Praise the Lord, I stayed.
Yes, dear sister, and that I see in that also. I've been down similar roads like that too, and unfortunately, I didn't always listen. I would start off, and you are right. It would become worse. However, I look at that as another form of anxiousness and not sitting with the Lord. But then at that time, I really had a very small idea of who God was and who Jesus was and things like that. However, the lesson still remains the same. It still taught me when to sit still. And it's taken a while, because anxiousness is something I've had for a long time, since childhood. Yet the Lord, even for that, brings a person through and gives victory in that. And it even comes, even as you said, dear sister, when we are obedient and we are listening. And we may not know in a more intimate way the Lord, but we can hear his voice, because he is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We can hear. It's whether we're going to obey. And that's how we also can overcome those things of running ahead of God in these different decisions in our lives and different situations, which unfortunately, and I guess rightly so, winds up being more difficult than if we would have just waited and been patient and not run off in our own direction. So that is a good point. If someone would like to share something more, please feel free to do so. There's so much to share. At times I don't even know where to begin.
So the Lord has promised that if we seek him first, he will provide the things that we stand in need of. That is comforting in itself, yet not easy to do. As we know, looking outside and trying to, you know, stabilize ourselves in this world. I think, you know, we get caught up with different things. But as Christians, we want to know about this kingdom, because it is the future. It is our future, you know, and it is a kingdom not made up in the things that we thought. It is a kingdom of love and righteousness and peace. And that is very, for our mind, difficult to comprehend. So I think, you know, I will speak for myself, and I hope for all of us in certain degrees, that should be more important to learn about this kingdom that God wants to show us, because that's what he says he came to teach us about. And this world that we're living in, you have to go out, get the job, get the thing, get the car, get the mansion, get the career and get the thing and die without the hope of, you know, being saved. So, I thank God that we know now that we don't have to do those things, and we don't have to go after those things, and He will provide the things that we stand in need of. And I really, by God's grace, want to learn about this kingdom, because that is foreign language. Love and righteousness and peace, a whole kingdom. Yes, I want to learn about that.
I want to say that that is a beautiful thing too, dear sister, what you're sharing, because I have had, and I think all of us to one degree or another, have experienced spiritualizing heaven in such a way to where it becomes to where it's not even really a tangible place. And that is something that can become deceptive, and we don't really see the true love of God in that He is truth, He is real, heaven is real, we are to think on it, our minds are to be on God, our minds are to be on a place of where there is love and grace and joy and peace for everyone forevermore. And I tend to believe very much so that what our dear sister is saying, if we really pull in those gems like that of the kingdom to come, which is very real, and our Lord is coming to take His children home, I tend to believe very much so that the excitement of that would be infectious to all around us, and we would want that to be their desire too. Because the Lord Jesus and God the Father want, is that's their desire. So if we say we want His heart and His mind, and the scripture says that if we are walking with Him, then we have the mind of Christ. Well, then our heart should also be like that towards all around us, even to those who don't treat us very well. We should want them to be there and be able to ask the Lord, how can I speak to this very difficult soul about your love and the kingdom to come, and how much more beautiful it is than all their worries and anxiousness and doubts and frettings and bitterness, whatever it is that's got them bound up, or money or cars or fame or whatever it is, that it's so much better than that. How do I do it, dear Lord? What can I bring from what you've shown me in my life and what you brought me through? Because heaven is, I will say this because I loved it ever since I saw it when our dear sister wife wrote that heaven is cheap enough. It really, really is when you start thinking about it regularly. And I do that from time to time. I will just sit and think about the things of heaven. And I may not know exactly, but the Word of God is there. And I believe in my heart that the Holy Spirit gives us little glimpses here and there of what it's like to be in His presence, the Lord's presence, and among the angels. And it really pushes back a lot of darkness when those clouds try to come in. Thinking about heaven, thinking about the Lord, thinking about the joy, thinking about my brothers and sisters being on there. I think about those things. And I think about also my neighbors too, and I don't really have much time to talk to any of them much at all, just a couple on each side, but that's about it. But I still am waiting for an opportunity to share more in detail, because I want them to be there. I don't know how, but I want them to share with them, meaning I don't know how to share with them, but I'm praying the Lord will open the opportunity. But just what our dear sister was sharing is like, that is something really, that should be like another breath in a Christian's life, is the looking forward to being there with our King and Savior and God our Father in heaven with the holy angels and everyone. That also, I believe, can help to push aside a lot of anxiousness, because our Heavenly Father knows really what we need when we need it. And what He has prepared for all of His children is beyond anything we can even imagine, even according to what Scripture has said. We cannot fathom it. So that is a rejoicing. That is a rejoicing indeed. There was a comment in here that was saying, if you have time to worry, you have time to pray. And that is very true. And we should have calluses on our knees sometimes. That's kind of what I think. If someone has something else that they'd like to share, please feel free. Otherwise, maybe we can have one more paragraph. Let us go ahead and read one more paragraph. Who would like to go ahead and read this last paragraph?
Jesus does not release us from the necessity of effort, but He teaches that we are to make Him first and last and best in everything. We are to engage in no business, follow no pursuit, seek no pleasure that would hinder the outworking of His righteousness in our character and life. Whatever we do is to be done heartily as unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen indeed. Who would like to share something on this one? Because this paragraph is a beautiful paragraph also, as the others were. This kind of gets down to the meat of certain things too, though. I would like to just share this also, because our dear sister brought this up about prayer, but this is something also that the Lord has been showing me too, over the years really. And it makes absolute beautiful, godly sense. If I don't put forth effort, yet I'm praying, am I really showing that I have faith? Am I really showing that I'm trusting in the Lord if I'm just praying, but I'm not doing anything? Amen. Amen. Those who do not work do not eat. It shows faith, and works go together. Amen. Amen, dear brother. And that is really it. In times past, I'd had that kind of way. I would pray. And that would basically just, okay, I prayed. It didn't dawn on me that I also had to, as I had recently just read not too long ago, that praying is one thing, but living out the principles of that prayer and doing the part that I can do is not godly. It's like I want the Lord to be my genie, and I prayed, I rubbed my lamp, and now where's my wish? It doesn't work that way. It took me a while to get that. I praise the living God that I did finally get that. But it took me a while to get that. And I tend to think that there are too many in the household of God that only want to pray, they want to pray about the person that is not treating them very kind, but they're not making any effort to teach the person how to treat them kind or how to be kind. They want someone to be able to have some shoes on their feet, but they're not really willing. They're praying, "Dear Lord, please, that children's family, family's children need some shoes on their feet, but so please get them there. But I have funds, or I could sacrifice," because we all have to do that. If we're going to make it into the kingdom, we're not making it in without sacrifice. That much is understood. So I could go ahead and sacrifice and do my part in making that also happen by God's grace, putting the shoes there, getting the sizes, finding, I don't have to be seen. I can just put them there. Or like the person did for me, put the food there at the door. I don't know what went on in that person's heart to do that, but the Lord does. The Lord caused the person to do that. We all have these different things that we've had challenges in our lives to be able to do. We can't just sit back and let God do everything. If we are building something, we are creating something, we are writing something, even as it says, we should do our very best and let the Lord be first, last, and best in all that we do. And if what we're doing or praying about and desiring to do, we hear in our heart that that would not please the Lord, we should not push it. We should not go down that road because God knows best. So we don't want to bring that in that also then becomes a stumbling block in our own walk. But then let's look a little broader. What if it's a stumbling block to others around us? And in our own selfishness, we're not considering that. So if the Lord is first, last, and best, we're going to consider that. And when we pray, we're going to pray with understanding, with a desire to make that also happen by God's strength, but we're going to do our part. I can want to wash my car and say, "Oh Lord, I really want to be able to wash my car," but I'm not getting out there with the soap and I'm not getting out there with the water and I'm not doing anything about the car. I can want to help someone else. I can want to study. I can want to. It was written in Spirit of Prophecy, I forget where, but a person can want all they want to be saved, and they can desire all they want to be in heaven, but yet if they do not do the part that they need to, and that is of repenting of their sins and choosing the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and making Him, as it even just says, first, last, and best in their lives, as it goes, it's growing, you know, they grow. It will never happen. They will just want it, but they would not really in their heart desire it that part, to that part where they really want to give their lives to God. So I just wanted to share that. If someone else has anything else they'd like to share, please feel free.
I read somewhere that in keeping the laws of the Lord, it grants us happiness in this life, and it prepares us for the world to come or for the kingdom to come. And I had to think about that for a minute. But it is true, right? So like where it says here, do not engage in any business, follow no pursuit, seek no pleasure. That would hinder the outworking of His righteousness in our character and life. So that is some, I mean, I kind of understand, like it sounds very like don't do and don't do, but if you don't do it, it saves you from all the anxiety and all the perplexity of this world. And in a sense, it gives the Lord the opportunity to, you know, get us in his character, reveal his character in us and for the next life, you know. So that's how I see that.
Amen. That is so true. Well, let us, unless there is someone that has something else they'd like to share, maybe we should stop right here. And we can start again next Sabbath by God's amazing grace. At Jesus, while he dwelt on earth. So that's a little ways down. Not sure exactly how far down, but it's a little ways down. And we can start there by God's grace. And who would like to go ahead and offer in closing prayer? Please feel free.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the lessons and all the sharings and all the experiences that you have allowed us to go through, but not left us alone, but given us a whole guidebook. And also, you have given us instruction and given us support to understand the guidebook as we go. We pray, Father, for your help and all the interpretations that needs to still be manifested in the book and in our lives, Father Jesus. And please help us as we navigate so that we can be able to make it to your kingdom, Father Jesus, I pray. Be with all of us here today. Please continue to provide your blessings throughout the day. As we go into the next sections of the studies, continue to be with us in your Holy Spirit to teach us into all truth. And we thank you so much again for this blessed Sabbath day. Be with us, I pray, in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Brother Rob, I hand it to you.
Thank you so much, dear brother. It's greatly appreciated for you leading out. Dear ones, let us take a short break and then return back here at 12:30 Pacific for our main church service or 3:30 Eastern. So we'll see you then.